Blog Talk Radio.
You're working behind our back. You're working behind us. Oh, you are good. You are good. We believe in Lord. You are good.
Your goodness is running after me.
Swear God is not angry with her. He's in a good mood. He's always in a good mood. Our God is good. He's always in a good mood. Oh,
You're the one who never leaves the one behind. Because of who you are. Soon coming King. I worship you and I bow down before you. I give you glory and I give you praise, O God, for this day. For truly this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are already rejoicing and we are glad. We are glad because you have kept us through the night and you have brought us into this new day. This day that we have never seen before, and surely we will never ever see this day again. And for that very reason, O God, we are praising you. And more than that, Lord, we are praising you for the blood that was shed at Calvary, the blood that washes our sin away and make us whiter than snow. Lord, we just ask that today you would speak to us and speak through your servant. Lord, that you would use her as the oracle of heaven here on earth. As she speak today, Lord God, many would hear and many would receive and many would be saved, O God. Many would be converted, O God. Lord, many will be delivered and healed, O God. We ask, O God, that you use her eyes, her ears, and her lips of clay. And even as she surrender, God, and decrease, O God, we ask that you would increase, O God, and that your word would be like a sharp sickle, a two-edged sword, cutting us, O God, on the inside, that the outside would begin to line up with the inside. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Apostle Clay, and let the Lord use you.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen and amen. How well do you hear me? Do you hear me good?
You sound better than President Biden.
Say it again.
I said you sound better than President Biden.
Okay, you got jokes.
You laughing, don't you? You laughing, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not messing with you this morning.
Okay.
See, okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Men and women of God, saints of God, today is another day in which God would love to rejoice and be glad in all of us through salvation and righteousness. And we give him glory, we give him honor, and we give him praise. We just thank the Lord for this day in which he has made. We thank the Lord for this opportunity that we yield to the Spirit of the Lord God, that we open ourselves, and that we are free and clear mentally, spiritually, and physically, that we can receive this word, that we can rejoice, that we can move forward, that we can make better decisions for ourselves in the name of Jesus, that we are open to just the bounty, everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for, that we have this opportunity. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray all things and everything. And we pray a special blessing for the reading of the Word of God, and we need to become doers of the Word in the name of Jesus. On that note, today's lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, and the title of this message on today is Know That You Know. In order to make it in this day and time, if you don't know who God is, you're going to have a problem. If you don't know who God is, doubt, confusion, separation from God for the sake of trying to figure out who God is, okay? So we need to be clear, we need to be sure, and we need to have a greater understanding, not just on this day, but each and every day, that we are truly able to go forward in the admonition of the Lord and have the security of knowing who God is, what God is, and exactly what this is all about. So, again, our lesson for today comes from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, 11. And the Word of God simply says this: So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Glory to God. Do you see the power levels just in that scripture alone? And it speaks volumes, because God has already said, so shall his word be that go forth out of his mouth. God said his word shall not return unto him void. God says that his word not only will it not return unto him void, but my word travels to where I want it to go. Not only does it travel where I want it to go, but it's going to accomplish. In other words, there's no lack there in that. There's nothing about the fact that the word of God is going to accomplish that which pleases God. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's powerful. So not only is it going to accomplish, but the power levels of it are going to increase. How? Why? Because it's going to prosper in the thing whereto God sends it. Wow. Meditate on that. In the meantime, let's watch God elevate the word of God. At the same time, not only is God going to elevate the word of God, but now God is going to prove the word of God. If you go to John, the first chapter, oh, wait a minute, let me do this, because I love the Amplified Word of God, and I would like to give you a greater understanding here. So now this is Isaiah 55 and 11, Amplified. So will my word be, which goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void, in parentheses, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. So now let's look at John 1. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it was the same with God in the beginning. Let's amplify it. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, in parentheses, Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. Glory to God. Let's get some understanding. God further proves the Word of God, the power level that come with the Word, but through the word. Let's go now to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and we're going to look at verse number 12, and understand this, and really understand this. When God says that the word of God powerful, as a matter of fact, let's do it this way. I'm going to read verse 12 of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. God is telling us the same way that there is no lack in me, there is no lack in my word. Me and my word are one. In the beginning was the word was with the word, was God. And it was the same with God in the beginning. Those two are never separate of each other, even when God has commanded the word of God. Because the word of God is God, and God is the word of God. Glory to God. Prayerfully, you can see that. At the same time, God has given us a commandment. And what God tells us, if you go to verse 10, we're still in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. But God says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. What that means exactly is that you have become like God now. Not that you are God. Though God is you, you're not God. And God is each and every last one of us. How do we know that? Because we are spoken from the word, even as he is. The sooner we understand and the sooner we get that God has more than given us, God has more than blessed us, God has more than provided for us, and God has more than protected us. But you have to be in this word, have an understanding of this word, and you have to operate from the perspective of the word in order to entitle yourself. Therefore, the greater your understanding, the greater your walk. And the greater your walk, the greater your movement, your results. So God says that if you have entered into his rest, in other words, your level of belief, your level of trust is great enough, is deep enough that you already know whatever it all is, it's done. Remember when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it's finished now? Okay, it was all done. All we have to do is walk by faith. As a matter of fact, Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of the Lord God and you are a son of God, the Word of God is quicker and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, meaning that you yield to the Spirit. Your trust, your belief is in God. Everything that you are, everything that you need, everything that needs to be done, you have an expectation of the manifestation of the Word of God. Because you have understood that when God speaks, when God commands, when God says, not only is it done, but it's going to perform the thing which pleases God. There's no lack in it in any way, shape, or form. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 tells you to speak those things that aren't as though they are. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, verse 11, God is telling you to command his hand. God has an expectation that you know something, that you are able to command, like, you know, on my behalf. I'm expecting that in as much as I trust, in as much as I believe, in as much as I pray, in as much as I seek your faith, in as much as I ask, in as much as I know that there are things that need to be done on my behalf, well, I know that you have the power, that you have the ability, that you have the knowledge, that you are able to do far above exceeding. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jeremiah kept saying, the word of the Lord came saying unto me. Glory to God. Think about that. The word of the Lord came saying, the word of the Lord kept coming unto Jeremiah and kept speaking to Jeremiah. The word of God will speak to you too, and especially if you have expectation. And by the time, one of the greatest things that could ever happen to any of us, and I don't know if you have ever had this experience or not, but the word of God will come to you and God will apply that word to you. The word of God tells you in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, we can start at verse number 2. I go before thee and I make the crooked places straight. Sometimes there are things that go on that, you know, for all practical purposes, somebody else may not understand it. And it looks as if though there's going to be a lot of confusion, chaos, and so on and so forth. But God will come and straighten that thing out, that everybody ends up on the same page, that everybody has the understanding that God will have them to hold. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the good thing. God shows us, even in Isaiah 45, verse 7, what God is telling us. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Well, since God has his hand in all of it, we may as well what? Leave it all in his hands. Life is more simplistic than what we make it out to be. We are the ones that complicate things. Not so much that it's complicated as much as we make it complicated. One might say, well, how could that be so? Lack thereof, be it that is trust, be it that is belief, be it that is faith, be it that is understanding, be it that it is spending the time that we need to spend, that God is able to commune with us, that God is able to touch bases, spirit to spirit, mind to mind, heart to heart. If you look at Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 20 and 21, I stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but I am strong in my faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he promises me, oh my goodness, that he is able also to perform. You got to believe. You got to trust. I ask far too many times, and when I ask, I really mean this. What do you really believe God to do? And that's something that we need to really, really stop and think about. What do you really believe God to do? What do you trust God to do? What do you think when it comes to God and God's ability to do, God's ability to take care of you? Do you really believe that God can meet your each and every need, that God won't just bless, prosper you, but God will provide for you and protect you? Do you really believe that? Do you really see that for yourself? Do you really see how that can be? First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. This backs up Isaiah 55, verse 11. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In other words, there were others. I believe this. As a matter of fact, you can even go back to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Very powerful testimony if you stop and think about it all. And the king was pressing and pushing, and, you know, this furnace, and, you know, I'm going to turn it up 7 times more, and the king did. Wanted the Hebrew boys to bow down to his graven image, and they just told him, well, if God doesn't bail us out from this situation, it won't be because he can't do it, but there will just be some other reason that he has decided or chosen not to. In other words, not only did they stand on faith, but they yielded unto the will of God, which is very powerful. So they had already taken doubt out of the equation by telling the king, well, we don't know what God is going to do in this particular situation, but you won't whip us, beat us with, where's your God now? And you know, if God is everything that God is, well, how come he didn't this and how come he didn't that? Okay, we don't know what the will of God is for our life in this particular circumstance. But what we do know is that whatever God wants to do, whatever God decides to do, okay, is what God is going to do. Whether we get it, whether we understand it, whether we don't understand it. So we should never, in other words, confuse God's ability versus whatever the will of God is for that circumstance. And oftentimes people do that. They confuse that. Well, if God loved me, this wouldn't have happened. Well, if God this, that, and the other would not have happened. Okay, people, wake up call. Let's go back to the cross. Who was crucified? Who took every sin known to man to the lowest part of hell? Jesus Christ did. And whatever it all is, the Word of God is teaching us and is telling us that God was already there first. Whatever it all is, I'm not lacking understanding about where you've been, what you've been through. I'm not lacking understanding about your trials, about your tribulations. I was there before you. And I was so there before you, took it first. Think about that. The Word of God further tells us in Hebrews, the other fourth chapter, let's look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points, not some, not a couple, not one or two, but in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have expectation. God tells you that it is his word that will not return unto him void. So what is one of the quickest ways to accomplish? What is the quickest way to get above and beyond and to know that you know that you know that you know? God likes to hear his word spoken back to him. God moves on his word.
I have a question.
Think about it.
Why would a guy come to a bar?
God said it is his word that's going to accomplish. It's his word that's going to go where to it pleases him. And that word is going to prosper on our behalf. So when we speak the word back, that makes a difference. And that is a difference. That's a positive. Inasmuch as we speak the word back, we should have an expectation that God is going to not just allow whatever the situation to go on, but it's going to be interrupted. God is going to interrupt that because he's going to command his word. He's going to tell that word where it needs to go and what it needs to accomplish on your behalf. When you hear men and women of God say we need to become doers of the word, we need to speak that word. The word of God tells us, speak this. Speak those things that aren't as though they are. Speak something unto me that I can move on. You can go back to Moses. Moses was one of the greatest examples. If ever there was somebody that God walked with, if ever there was somebody that God was teaching, because God took Moses by the hand, not only did God reveal himself to Moses, but God performed even as God revealed. By the time Moses was at the Red Sea, and if you go back to the word, God was a tad bit perplexed because at this point he expected Moses to know that he knows, that he knows, that he knows. Why? Not only am I walking with you, but I took you by the hand and I revealed myself. Therefore, by the time Moses was at the Red Sea, if you go back to the word, God said to Moses, why thou criest unto me? And God all but popped Moses on the head. But what he did say is, if you don't raise thy staff and stretch forth thine hand and expect me to move on your behalf, dude, what are you doing? Why don't you know who I am by now? Why don't you have an expectation from me? Not only did I show you who I am, I kept proving myself. I kept revealing my power. I kept revealing my ability. I kept showing you what I'll do for you, how far I'm willing to go for you, how much I love you. You're not alone. You're not here by yourself. I'm not asking you to meet it. I'm just asking you to believe me to do it. Glory to God. Remember early on when God told Moses to stick his hand in his bosom, and he did. And he said, now pull it out. And he said, oh, my Lord, oh, my goodness. He had leprosy. God told him, okay, now stick your hand back in your bosom. And before God could even tell him to pull it out, he snatches his hand out. Like, oh, my goodness. Whoo. Thank goodness it's gone. How many times has God shown you, has God told you who he is? Maybe it was a car accident. Maybe your electric bill needed to be paid. Maybe you were stuck somewhere and you needed assistance on the highway. It could be any number of things where God showed up, where God showed out. I even remember, I'll never forget this, my daughter and I were together. And we had just come from a ministerial event. We had to stop at the store, got what we needed, left out, hopped back in the car, proceeded. Now we're on our way home. The car shuts down. And I said, okay, what is going on? Now, this is what is interesting. I had said unto God that I wanted to see an angel in the human form, the way that we look. Little did I know, on that particular night, God was about to grant me. Sometimes it is the circumstances that surround you for which God will command whatever it is, even if it's things that we have asked. So the car has shut down. We're at a light. A neighbor and, matter of fact, ministers that were in the same pulpit as I was, meaning we were all members to that particular church. The car shuts down. They show up behind me. The man of God was so happy, not because I was stuck, but because he now had an opportunity to do something for me. Him and the missus had had car problems, so our household stood in their gap when they needed to go somewhere, do something, whatever the situation was, we were helping them with transportation. So when the car stopped and they were behind me, he saw an opportunity, or rather they saw an opportunity to show the same kindness that I in the household had shown to them. Not only were they behind me, all of a sudden this gentleman appeared literally out of nowhere. I was at an intersection that it wouldn't have mattered what direction you came from. Somebody needs to mute their phone. But it wouldn't have mattered what direction you came from. But if there was someone walking from any direction, there's just no way you would not have seen them. This angel just appeared, and when I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. And I was like, wow, look at God. So the angel said, where do you want us to push the car? And I told him exactly where. There was a car insurance place, Catacorner, And I said, over in that parking lot, I said, as a matter of fact, right where they would be able to see the car. And they put it exactly where I wanted it to go. I called the insurance company the next day as soon as they opened, told them it was my car, told them the car had stopped, and that I would be sending someone to pick the car up. And they said, fine, we'll keep an eye out on the car. Well, ironically enough, they pushed the car. Before I could say thank you, once, just as quick as that angel showed up, that angel was gone. And I was like, wow. And the only thing I did was I looked down to take the gear and push it in the park position. And just that quick, just as quick as the angel appeared, the angel was gone. And we were all just fascinated. And I said to my daughter, I said, wow. I said, we for real just saw an angel in the human form. I said, did you, she said, She said, I blinked. And then he wasn't there anymore. I said, tell me about it. None of us saw, like, the next move. Just as quick as he came, he left. When God says that he commands, God commands. When God says, I see you, I know what it is, I understand. What does the word of God, matter of fact, let me go to this. I'm getting ready to turn to Psalm 121. I'm pretty sure that's what I want. And I'm going to read. Let me see, it's 19. As a matter of fact, before I read that, Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I know that to be true. Like I said, we have to get to that place in which we know that we know that we know. Psalms 121. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth thee, Israel, shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. That is powerful. Once again, the word proving itself, the word giving you substance, giving you moral, okay, power. Not only can you trust me, but I want you to see me in all my splendor and glory. I want you to know that you know that you know. That not only can you trust me, believe me, but I will bless you, prosper you, provide for you, protect you. Not in some ways, but in each and every way. Some might say, well, why did this happen or that happen? Okay. Well, Moses, again, taught you some things. Moses let you know we need to not just look unto the hills from whence our help cometh, but we also need to look unto the hills and ask God to command the word concerning us. Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, then don't allow me to go anywhere that you will not be with me. Don't allow me to be there. Sometimes circumstances are merely just a formality in some form, fashion, way, shape, form, fashion, or another. And this is what I mean by that. I was waiting for a bus one day. The bus was late. And oftentimes when I don't know, something is off schedule or whatever the case may be, you could be in a car, you could be on a train, and you know, for whatever reason it was late. There may have been something on the track that needed to be removed. Somebody has to come and get that. You're in a car, okay, maybe the light didn't change when it was supposed to, and the timing is off or whatever the case may be. On this particular day that I was waiting for this bus, little did I know that there was a murder. It was an accidental situation, but it was still what it was nonetheless. And that bus was on that route. There was a gentleman that had a gun that just, I don't know, he just went slap off and started shooting. There was someone that was coming back from the store, got caught in the crossfire, and that woman lay dead only steps from her home. Had that bus been on time, a lot of people would have been shot, could have been me, but not only was it not my time, but I was protected because the Lord did not allow my feet to be placed until it was safe. And after that whole situation was over, and everything was roped off, taped up, from that particular point, then everything went back on time and fell back into the scheduled time at some given point. Sometimes what we're impatient about is our own lives being saved, is God's way of protecting us. People say things like, in the case of, say, a car accident, how a baby got thrown to safety. No, the baby didn't get thrown to safety. God says, I've given angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thine ways. There were angels that were commanded on behalf of the baby. Somebody, one of the angels, opened the car door or broke the windshield or broke a window. Another angel unbuckled the seatbelt. Another angel grabbed the car seat with the baby in it. But the baby wasn't thrown to safety. It just magically, whoo, and landed. No, that's not what happened. Psalms 91:11 says that God will command the angels that he's given charge over you to keep you in all thine ways. Again, expectation, again, trust, again, believing God that much. Beginning of Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him shall I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. Expectation. Every day we should be asking God to command the angels that he's given charge over us to keep us in all thine ways. We should be asking God to fill our daily loaded benefits unto us. As a matter of fact, let me see something right quick. So you know exactly where that is. I want to say it's either Psalm 68 or 78. Let me see if I can find that right quick. Okay, I don't see it there. It must be in the 60s here. But God has given us, yes, it's Psalms 68, verse 19. And we have to learn how to speak unto God. When you think in terms of being close to God and building a closeness, building a line of communication, your first line is the Word of God. And once you begin to show that interest, God is going to participate with you. God, there some in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you will know that God not only hears you, but God is walking with you. You're going to know. Without question, you're going to know. And you can trust and you can believe that. You can take that to the bank. The Word of God even teaches us that we should trust in the Lord with all, everything about you, everything in you, everything concerning you should be trusting and believing in God. You should know that you know that you know that you know. And this is where it all begins. It begins in the Word of God. I'm sure that at some given point or time probably heard of predestined. And another word for predestined is preordained, fated, foreordained, predetermined, inevitable. Predestinated. Predestinate from the standpoint of the Bible means to foreordain to an earthly or eternal lot or destiny by divine decree. Predestination, the belief that everything that will happen has already been decided by God or fate and cannot be changed. When God does something, oh, God does it. And when God has spoken something, it's been spoken. And at some given point in time, you will bear witness and your understanding will become greater. Because you will be able to see, you will know, you will have a testimony in some way, shape, form, fashion, or another that lines up with whatever the experience is And to others, it may come off, be, or seem unexplained, but as the person standing in the midst of whatever it is, oh, you'll get it, and you'll understand it, and it'll make sense to you. And there won't be any questions, perhaps, in your mind as to what it is or what it was and all that good stuff. But it will extend your belief. It will greater your understanding, magnify your understanding. It will give you a further sense of not just gratitude, but of expectation. You're going to want to see more. You're going to want to know more. You're going to want to understand more. You're going to be curious. Your wheels are going to begin to turn. You will see God greater. You will see God in God's splendor and in God's glory. You will begin to understand why God says, I'm the one that needs to be your focus in each and every way, not in some way. Not when it comes to one or two things, not when it comes to a couple of things, but I have your best interest. I'm the one that knows what it all is from beginning to end. I'm the one that whatever it is, I spoke it. I'm the one that can make it progress, that can stop it, that can make it yield. I'm the one that commands, and I have the final say in all things and in everything. Not one or two things, not a couple of things here and there, but in all things. So we need to recognize that. We need to understand that. We need to receive that. We need to see that. Psalms 119, verse 133, simply says this: order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I want God to not just order my steps according to the word, but I want God to order my steps each and every day. Each and every day. That I am where God would have me to be, not just in his word, but again, in my each and every day. And we need to look at that. God gives us direction in more ways than one. God can be very specific about whatever the matter is. God holds a lot of conversation about a whole lot of things. But then it is up to us to begin to look at these things, begin to map out some things, have some thoughts, some wants, and some feelings about what's going on around you, about the reality of whatever is happening in the midst of you, even when it comes to sin. God can still direct your steps. God can still move you away from those things, whatever that may be, whatever that may consist of. Again, accept and receive the fact that God has the final say in all things and in everything, not just something, not just one or two things here or there, but in all things. God wants you to know who you are. God wants you to know that God is available. God wants you to know all of that. As a matter of fact, let me say something here. And let's go to... let's see, what is this long minute? You know, oh, no, I don't want that. Let me see something. Like I said, we're going to take a closer look. Oh, here's a good one. We can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. If you're struggling and you have an issue with belief and knowing and you want a greater understanding, you can ask God. He says in the fifth verse, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, God is commanding through the Spirit that you hearken unto the voice of God's command, that you fall subject to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you yield to the Spirit of the Lord God, that you allow yourself that God overtake you, that God is ministering to you, that God is everything that you need God to be, that your understanding becomes greater, that you become led by the Spirit, in the Spirit, through the Spirit. There is nothing, not one thing, that is too big or too small for God. Not one thing. There will never be anything that is bigger than God. God said that he would supply all of your needs in accordance to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, even going back to the word of 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 7 in particular, simply says this: for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. God wants you to know that you know that you know that you know. God does not want you to lack understanding. God doesn't want you to be uncertain. God wants you to know exactly who God is. God wants you to understand you're not here by accident. God is telling you, you're here because I spoke you. I spoke you from the beginning. And everything that goes on was already spoken. It is up to us to take the time to speak those things that aren't as though they are, that God picks that up, that the manifestation of the Spirit of the Lord God, whatever is going on, whatever is happening, whatever the situation is, okay, God tells you in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay? We can be movers and shakers. We can stir up the gift of God through the word of God. How about that? Like I said, there is no lack in God. The word of God even tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We're being washed in water right now by the word of God. Anytime you're in the word of God, anytime you stir up the gift of God through the word of God, you're being washed in water by the word. You're being renewed in the transforming of your mind, that you're able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, because you're being washed in water by the word. You have an opportunity to become effectual, that you pray righteousness that availeth much. How? Why? You're being washed in water by the word. Okay, so understand, it begins with the word of God. It's going to end with the word of God. Throughout life, it's going to be in and through the word of God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is still God. God is still God. And the word of God, again, simply says this: so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You want progress? Become doers of the word. You want a greater understanding? Become readers of the word. You want action that the word of God is applied and proven to your life? Become believers of the word. Know that you know that you know that you know, and that your understanding is great. The word of God tells you in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, verse 17, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But how much of that do you really believe? Do you believe that? Do you see that? Does that make sense? Can God continue to bless you? Can God continue to keep you? Isaiah, the 41st chapter, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Are you able to see that? The Word of God teaches us in Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Glory to God. Trust and believe that. Know that. Know that you know that you know. Stay in that. Receive that. Feel that. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Continue to speak those things that aren't as though they are, that the word of God will up and operate through you. Don't you know that when the word of God is in your heart, hidden in your heart, God can command that word to perform through you? Oftentimes, when it comes to a lack of power, okay, you would be the reason why you lack power. Not because God isn't powerful, because we're not taking the step. We're not making the step. Okay? Again, Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And that's for those that put their trust in him. Okay? We want God to move. We want God to act. We want God to be on our behalf. But then what are you doing? What is the part that you can do? And how much are you willing to do to make that happen? How much are you willing to do that God can meet you? How much are you willing to do that your desire is great enough that God comes unto you, that God meets you, that God pours out his undeniable unto you? The word of God says, seek ye the kingdom of God, his righteousness, that all else be added unto you. That's probably Matthew, the 6th chapter. Probably verse 33. But think about that. Seek ye the kingdom of God, his righteousness, that all else be added unto you. God gives you all types of, as someone would say or refer to, as nugget information that helps to direct your steps, not just in his word, but in your each and every day, that you're more fruitful, that you're able to hold fast, that you're able to move forward, that you're able to know that God is everything that God says God is. But how interested are you? How much do you, you know, really want to know how much time did you want to take? Okay. How much time do you want to put in? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The word of God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By his spirit. Glory to God. God also tells us, and I want to say, matter of fact, I know it's Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You have to come into the unity. Okay? You have to come into the unity. You have to come into relationship. You have to have a desire. You want God to walk with you. Then, okay, take the hand of God in the name of Jesus. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. There's not, the only thing that God can't do, number one, God can't fail. And God is not going to go against his word. God tells you in Hosea, the 4th chapter, verse 6, my people are destroyed of lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Okay? If you're on a path of destruction in any way, shape, or form, oh, okay, you might want to grab hold of the word of God and pull yourself back up, okay? Come up out of the nosedive, and you could probably better see that from the standpoint of an airplane pointed straight down with a lot of speed, time to, you know, pull hard to bring the nose of the plane back up, okay, before you crash. The word of God tells you that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his or her way, okay, but there's certainty in this word. There's direction in the word of God. And everything that we need is here within the word, in the counsel of God. Matter of fact, God says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14, counsel is mine. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. God does not lack thereof. God is everything that we need God to be. And God is everything that we want. Even in our time of need. And the word of God teaches us in Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. When you think in terms of man, man needs the same thing that you need, and that's this word. Man needs the same thing that you need, understanding of the word. Man needs the same thing that you need, the word operating in your life. That there is no lack, that there is no lack even when it comes to understanding and knowing that God is everything that God is, but knowing that you know that you know. Again, all of this being the word of God still tells you, oh, as a matter of fact, let me extend this. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thought that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Like I said, God knows the beginning and God knows the end. And in order for us to prosper in whatever the endeavor is, whatever the interest is, we have to be in participation with God, unto God, concerning God, that we're in that right place, that we're in the place that we need to be in, and that we have the understanding that God will have us to hold and be whole. As a matter of fact, before we close out here and switch gears, this is the last that I am led to. Read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through, say like verse 19. And it simply says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And what God is saying there, I want you to know who you are. I want you in relationship with me. I want you in fellowship with me. I want us to walk together. I want to bring you into a greater understanding. I want you to be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by my word. I want you to know that you know that you know that you know. I want you to be able to enter into my rest, that you speak the word and I shall command the word. How about that? Glory to God. You speak my word. You speak those things that are as though they are. You command, and I'm going to back up what you're asking. I'm going to show myself forth. I'm going to help you not just in your understanding, but I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to prove you through my word. Glory to God. Be encouraged. Know that you know that you know. Spend time in the word. Be encouraged to speak the word and have expectation that God shows up unto his word. Trust and believe God to act on his word. Today's lesson came from Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. As a matter of fact, even if you look at Isaiah 53 and verse 5, where God is speaking healing, and the word says, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I tell anybody, before you pray that, you should really believe that and have expectation. A lot of times, you can come across a person that'll say things like they pray Isaiah 53 and 5 all the time. They haven't seen results. Okay, well, how much do you believe that word that you speak? And are you speaking it unto God in and through belief with an expectation that God is going to move on that word on your behalf? God tells you you have not because you ask not. And when the word of God or when you hear sometimes that you're praying amiss, sometimes we have to go back. And like I said, what do you really believe God to do? What? What is your expectation unto God? When you think in terms of God, what do you see? What is your expectation of your experience? You hear people even refer to this, you know, when they speak about God, oh, the sky is the limit. Oh, okay. I serve a no-limit God, because if the sky is the limit, then you've already limited whatever to the sky. That's not the experience that I'm looking for. I serve a God that is above and beyond the measure, even when it comes to all of that. So we need to stop and think about where we're at. We need to be realistic in our belief, in our understanding. There is no such thing God needs to give you more faith. No, God has given everybody the measure of faith that they need. It is up to you to increase and extend your measure through your believing God that much, okay? In man's world, seeing is believing. In God's world, believing God that much is seeing. Okay? So don't get it confused. The more you know, the more you see, the more you understand, the more God reveals. So make no mistake about that. Prayerfully, this particular lesson has given you more or perhaps a new perspective or whatever it is that you need that you're able to be fully functional in this day, this time, in this season, and that you have a greater understanding as to who God is, what it's all about, because the more you know, the more you understand concerning this word, the better you're going to fare. The more you lack, well, it's not going to work as good or as what you would like for it to, because you have to spend time there. And you have to meditate. You have to sometimes go back and look and allow yourself to see and acknowledge whatever the blessing is or the expectation of the blessing. Unfortunately, and sometimes more often than not, some people only see God and only acknowledge God if money is hitting their hand. A brand new car, a house, it has to be the manifestation of material things. Well, I would never say that God blessing you with something that, I don't know, you desire, want, need, however you want to put it, isn't a blessing. It is, but true wealth is in relation to spiritual things. An example, the doctor telling somebody they only have a week to live, and yet their testimony is 15, 25 years later from the time that they were told such, because there's something about their spirit in relation to God that's open to receive God. Glory to God. Visualize that. See that. Receive that. Apply that. Spiritual things are always going to be greater. Material things, things that manifest in your right now. Okay. Well, you can go get that for yourself. And true enough, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But there is nothing like having promises in God. And don't forget that. So be encouraged. Tell someone else. And right now, we want to turn our attention unto salvation. John 3:16 simply says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but instead have eternal life. We don't have to be afraid to come before God, but what we do need to do is repent. We need to acknowledge our sin, and we want to acknowledge that not only do we want to move away from sin, but we want to rid sin from our lives. We don't want sin running our life. And at the same time, Romans 3:23 clearly tells us that we have all fallen short or come short of the glory of God. There's no question about it. That the only one that was made sin that never sinned was Jesus Christ. So anybody walking, living, breathing today, you've done something. You may not be doing anything you don't have any business doing now, but at some given point in time in your life, you were riddled with sin, just like any and everybody else. Sin didn't escape you. It was with you. Make no mistake about it. Romans 6 and 23 clearly says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is a blessing. And even understanding, we just celebrated Easter, the most, my goodness, well, between that and the holiday season, just, you know, just a time in which we need to really, really get an understanding. Crucifixion was not this lightweight thing. And those that haven't understood or don't really understand the depth of that act, maybe it would be good for you to request a greater understanding in the midst of your Bible study, that the pastor goes through step by step, that that you know and that you realize that that which Christ gave, oh my goodness, it was a lot. It was more than a lot. It was greater than what you could ever begin to imagine. Romans 10:9-10 simply says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that being said, if this is your time and if this is your season unto salvation, that you come into the fold of the body of Christ, that you now take on the name of Jesus Christ, that our Father, which art in heaven, recognizes you, then you just simply want to ask that the Lord Jesus Christ please come into your life. You recognize that you are a sinner, and you come before the Lord asking forgiveness of your sin. You confess in your heart and speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died on the cross for your sins. You confess that Christ is the Lord of your heart, your soul, and your life. And you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you praise the Lord for making a way for you. You declare by the blood of Jesus that you are saved. Your heart is open unto the Lord. Your life belongs to him. And you pray that the Lord will continue to reveal himself unto you through love by the Holy Spirit. And you want the Lord to have his way in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, you pray all things and everything. And the only thing which is left to seal salvation, righteousness. Ephesians 2:8 simply says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Acts 2:38 simply tells you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, your sin. You want to find a Bible-believing church. King James is always going to be the first preference, of course, that would allow you to have, hold, and behold the greatest understanding that you are able to go forward, that you are now the recipient of all that Christ was willing to give himself for, that you can step into the abundance of life and be led by the Spirit of the Lord God, be led by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you won't experience trials, tribulations, the fact that you were willing to lay the old man down and step into the body of Christ. You're going to be challenged in many ways, shapes, and forms. But be not discouraged. Remember Isaiah 55, verse 11. And trust and believe that God is going to lift up a standard against anything that rises up against you. Know that God is everything that God says God is. Know that God is with you always, and have an expectation that God will certainly fight your battle. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray all things and everything. And now, Apostle, back over to you. Apostle Calendar. Apostle. Apostle, I know you're there. Somewhere. Apostle is here somewhere. Sometimes he gets interrupted and has something that he needs to attend to. But Apostle,
hey, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I hear you. I hear you was calling me. I'm trying to get my phone off of me, and I end up hanging up. But thank you so much for that word. Know that you know. You have to have an assurance that you know. That you know. Hallelujah. So Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today, that you allow your servant to elaborate on. We ask, God, that you would open the window, the door, and the gates of heaven, Lord. And right now, God, that you will replenish all that she has poured out. We thank you, O God. For God, you have spoken to us through your servant. You have given us so much today to go back and meditate on. Lord, we ask that, God, that we'll not just be hearers of the word, but we'll be doers of the word. And Father, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for what you have given us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your name, Jesus, and we praise you. And Jesus' name, the line is now open.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The line is open. It's a lot of people on the line, so I have one number that was on before that's back on now that have a lot of noise in the background, so I had to put that on mute. But the line is open.
Is Mother Grant on?
No, Mother Grant is not on the line right now. Mother Grant is dealing with some family issues, and we have to keep her in prayer and keep her family in prayer. You know,
Amen.
This is a very serious time that we're living now, you know. And you have to really have to be very, very serious about what you're doing. Pay attention, what I mean. You have to pay attention to your surroundings.
Amen.
Just listen to some news in Atlanta, and I have my phone on mute, and this young man goes into the store, and apparently he was dating this older man's daughter, and he and the older man had some words before, which was supposed to be his father-in-law, where he went into the store and boxed the older man in his face. The older man hit him back. He went out the store, go get his gun, and come back and shot the man, killed the man. You know.
So
you have to be very careful today, and you have to be aware. And as you said, you got to know that you know that you know that you know who you are and whose you are. You have to pay attention to your surroundings. And like we were saying on yesterday, the day before, with Apostle Washington, you have to watch what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing and what you're seeing, what you're looking at. Because those things going to hinder you. Those will hinder you. And they will discourage you, you know. So very important for us as believers. And you said this morning, you have to stay with the Word of God. You have to stay with the Word of God. The Word of God is what will clean you, what will renew you, what will heal you, and what will keep you safe.
Yeah.
The Word of God. You know, you got to know that that's the only thing that can keep you. The Word of God. You know. You got Christians, you got leaders that are falling today like flies. They're falling. They're falling like flies. You just ain't seeing and hearing everything, but they're falling like flies. They tell me that churches are closing every day. Every day. You know, because people ain't going back to the building. Not the church, but the building, the church building.
Right.
People are not going back to the building. They can't pay the bills. They can't pay the bills. Mm-hmm. It's only the mega church that's holding up because they ain't preaching nothing anyway. You know, they ain't preaching anything, so people come and they just like they're going to a party. You know
they got the buckets, okay?
yeah, they got plenty buckets, and the people go because there's no conviction message, so they're the only ones that hold on. But you find a little church with 75 or 50 people, they got to work hard to keep. You know, people don't want to go back because they're preaching holiness. Holding this message, so, and the people don't want to go back. Well, we're thanking God for you and for the word that came forth today. There's a lot of people on the line, and I don't know who's a lot of people on the line, but nobody's responding. We're thanking God. People are busy. There's tornadoes and all types of stuff going on, and earthquakes and stuff is going on. They say that this year is going to be a year of hurricanes like you never experienced before. That's what the weatherman said last night that they're going to have more hurricanes this year than any time before. I think they got something like 39 or 40 hurricanes that they're saying that's going to happen. You know, one after one. You know.
What
could they predict that these storms going to come like this? They already said that's what the computer's saying. So,
people better be prayed up, fasted up,
because you could be out in the tornado come, the hurricane, the earthquake, and you're gone. You're going out this
morning. Yeah.
And when you're going to, I was just telling my wife just now, I said, honey, I think I'm going to get me a bulletproof vest. He said to me, yeah, I told her, that way, you know, the people, they've been sending me this stuff all the time.
You probably
got it on your phone too. I've been getting it from since last year before. They've been sending me, said, well, do you want an armor vest? You know, and now they sent me thing yesterday, they said, well, now, I said, well, I don't have that money to buy the vest. But yesterday they told me now that they would give me the vest, and I could pay a little bit every month. So my wife was doing just what you're doing right now. She's cracking up. She said, You don't need no vest. You don't go nowhere that much that you need a vest. I said, but just one time. You know,
amen.
And I ain't ready to meet my maker yet. I got work to do down here. You know, I got work to do down here.
That's right.
But the way the world system is now, you're not free when you go to the store. Even going to the gas station,
I know.
People just come up and shut you for no reason. I mean, I saw the man on the news yesterday. They were trying to rob this, get to this man. The young man was running somewhere down south, and he was trying to carjack the man. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And the man saw him coming, and the man cranked the car and took off. Man, he blasting at the car. I mean, pop, 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 at the car. Wanted to kill the man because the man didn't let him come and rob him. And took his car. He probably would have killed the man when he got the car.
Much. Folks are crazy for real.
Said, you can't
folks
even go to the store, so you're going to get you a donut. Get a cup of coffee and a donut at the store. That'd be the last donut, last cup of coffee you get. I said, honey, bring the coffee in the house. Keep the coffee in the house. I ain't going out nowhere. I don't drink any coffee anywhere. Born to the booth when I have a cup of coffee. But I ain't going nowhere to get no herb tea. Buy all the herbs and bring home.
You got donut delivery.
What
they Uber eat to
their bring my coffee and donut to the house.
Deliver.
I ain't going to get it.
Okay.
People are crazy out there today. It's a crazy time that we're living in.
Well,
crazy
yes.
Crazy time that we're living in. Crazy time.
I just learned the other day that the coronavirus has actually hit my family. I didn't know anybody prior to that was suffering or dealing with that. And so I want to lift up my cousin again. I have been praying for her and interceding for her, and I need to call her when I get off and check on her, send her a message or something and see how she's doing, because I do have expectation unto God, and I spoke those things that aren't as though they are. And at the same time, I gave her the instructions that God gave me. And I'm expecting to hear great results, not just good results, but great results. God can do anything but fail. So I trust and believe God for her life. And I don't feel like anything in the spirit when it comes to death and all the rest of that kind of, you know, craziness. But, you know, the way that God put it to me, and I got so tickled, and I told her, I said, the only thing that happened to you, I said, the adversary got mad at you because you always boasting about God.
Yeah.
And because you always lifting up the name of the Lord and testifying,
yeah.
You know, telling people what God is doing for you. I said, that's how the adversary decided, you know, I'm going to sit her down. I'm going to get her out of these places where she's doing all this bragging. I said, but if you stay focused and you trust, believe, and know that God is everything God is, I said, you'll be back bragging again in a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's all that was about. And sometimes that's all it is. You know, if you know that you are that individual that's always bragging about God. I brag about God. I know that God is everything that God is. And the word of God teaches us in 1 Peter the 4th chapter, you don't have to go out, become a murderer. You don't have to be a robber. You don't have to do any of that for a testimony. God says there's going to be a fiery trial in your life as though some strange thing have happened unto you. So you can trust and believe, and that's all that is. Okay, all we have to do is just stand. Know that God has it, you know. So I lift up my cousin. And I know Denisha is strong, and I know that she is looking unto the hills from whence her help cometh. We prayed and all of that. How is Prophetess Misha doing? How are things going there?
The last time I talked to her and prayed with her, she was sounding good, but, you know, as I don't mean to use the word but, you know, she is dealing with stuff, but God is in control. God is in God is in control, you know. God is in control, and you can even put the message in there. You got to know that you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that you know that you know that you know. Hallelujah. No matter, because the Bible tells us very plain that we're going to have trials and tribulations. It tells us that. He didn't even try to kick, but he said, well, no, once I save you, you can walk around with a lollipop in your mouth. You're going to have sugar all the time. No, sometimes you're going to have some salt. You're going to have some salt sometime. He tell you straight up, you're going to have trials and tribulations. But remember, he overcome. Because he overcome, we overcome also. Hallelujah. So we got to know that. I mean, you're going to get sick. You're going to come up that somebody going to steal your money, going to scratch your car, going to cut your tires just because of who you are. And a lot of time, it's family members. It's family members. You know, it's people that are close to you, friends that close, you know, close friends. You know, because the spirit that's in you, the light that's in you, makes them feel uncomfortable. And they don't want to see you happy. They're going to do something or anything to take away that joy from you. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's your son-in-law. Sometimes your daughter-in-law. Sometimes it's your son, your daughter, your sister, your cousin. I'm telling you, I've experienced this stuff.
I have too.
Who you think you are? I had my own daughter come against me one time. I'm telling you. And now the same daughter's coming to me. Daddy, can you do this to me? Daddy, can you do that? Oh, yeah, I can go for you. She makes sure she gets the word every day. Every day she gets the word from Blog Talk Radio. She live in Georgia. She live in Georgia. I make sure she gets it every day. She ain't got no excuse.
Amen. Yeah. I know that's
and
right.
She be boasting about how the Lord changed her daddy, how the Lord changed her daddy. Yeah? But if the Lord changed your daddy, he can change you too.
Amen.
You know? No, not just your daddy. He can change you too.
Okay.
So that's what he wants to do.
You know,
my daddy's a preacher. God has changed my daddy. I know when my daddy was this and that. Oh, but you know when your daddy was, but your daddy's not that anymore. Daddy's not that anymore.
Because
I know the truth. And I'm free.
Get your testimony.
I am absolutely free. I'm free in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul. I am free. In my body, I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm free.
Amen.
I always tell people I don't cross all T's. And I don't dot all the I's because I'm not perfect. Only one person is perfect, and his name is Jesus or Yeshua.
That's
but I thank God that I don't miss as much T's and much I's as I used to do before. I don't miss as much. Glory to God. Because every day he's making me very much aware of what I need to do. He makes me aware of what I... You know, Apostle Washington and I was kidding about like before where I was trying to watch some movies and the Lord wouldn't let me. He said, no, go. Don't watch no movie. Go into the book of Ezekiel. I want you to study the book of Ezekiel. Man, last night, I figured that was just a one-night thing.
Uh-huh.
Last night, Apostle Claire, I live on the bed of my wife. She was tired. She's coming. She's running with Samara. You know, her car in the shop, so she's driving my car, going different places. She comes, she was tired. She got a shower later. I said, well, you're going to sleep early. I took a nap. I said, well, I'm gonna watch me a movie tonight on the computer. Man, I lay there on the bed and put my pillow behind my back and tell one, I'm going to watch a movie tonight.
Uh-huh.
Here comes the Holy Spirit again. Every movie I go to, he said, you don't need to watch that. Every movie, and it wasn't a cussing movie. You know, it's a lot of gangster movie and a karate and the you know, them ninja movies and stuff. Every movie I go to, look good. He said, you don't need a movie. I said, okay, I see what you're doing. So I just freaking went and started watching some scripture. Wouldn't let me watch a movie. Wouldn't let me watch a movie. And I thought that when he told me the other night that was just a one-night thing. You know, no. Here he comes again last night. And one, let me just relax. I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to relax and watch a movie. Yeah, he comes. Holy Spirit. Because he wants us. We are in a time that God wants us to focus on the word. That's
and we need to be girded with power.
God, that's the only thing that's going to give us the strength that we need to stand the word
Jesus.
Of God. It's not money.
Thank you, Jesus.
As much, they can give you as much stimulus as they give you. They're going to give you another stimulus, too. Believe what I'm telling you. Because this thing going to get worse before it gets better. But it's not going it's not going to last. It's not going to keep you. You need the word of God to keep you, not stimulus.
That's right.
You need the word of God. You need the
if
word of God.
If you don't know how to operate, you're going to be in trouble. I'm telling you.
That's
if
right.
you do not know how to operate, you're going to be in trouble. You won't know what to do. Ain't going to be nobody to turn to because those folks will be trying to, you know, pull their heads out the sand too, you know. So it's
no, it's getting bad. It's getting bad when you have little girls. The man was saying on the news. He says that the kids got too much time on their hands. He said they got too much time. Little girls, 17 and 16 years old, go. What do you call them? Carjack the Uber man. He killing.
What? Wow.
You hear what I'm telling you? Carjack him and kill him. He's 15,
that
16, something like
that.
And they had a taser. One of the girls had a taser and tased the man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they doing getting a taser from? They got a taser. Tased the man. Robbed the man, take his car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're sitting in prison. They're sitting in prison right now. In the jail right now.
That's ridiculous.
Waiting for trial. This is the time that we're in. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to do nobody. You don't have to be black and you don't have to be white. They don't care what color you are.
Okay.
They want your car. They want your motorcycle.
Look,
they want your wallet.
Especially if they're chasing green. It don't matter what color you are.
Yep.
They're chasing green. Okay. Folks better recognize, I'm trying to tell you. Mm-mm. It's just like Moses said, you know, you have to have that consciousness. If you know, God is everywhere, but God is not everywhere with us. So you better be asking God, you know, hey, can I go to the store today or does it need to be another day? I don't want my feet placed anywhere that God will not be with me. Okay, that's not my goal.
Right.
That is not my goal. And that is not the will of God for my life either. And folks better start thinking about the will. Learn to go back to the will of God. Be praying the will of God. Lord, if it is not your will that I'm in Walmart today, don't let me be in Walmart today.
That's right. That's right.
And you not there
you
with me. Don't let me be out on the street
that.
Today. Okay.
Yep. I've been seeing that for years. My wife would go a place. I said, she, you want to go to the store, man? And well, she outside in the living room or something. I said, Lord, should I go to Walmart? Should I go to the store with her? And Lord said, don't go nowhere. I said, honey, you go ahead. I'll be praying for you. I tell him a lie.
Amen.
She and somebody going to the mall. She said, you want to go to the mall with us? I said, and I hear my spirit, don't go to the mall. I don't know if something going to happen or not. I said, honey, you all go ahead. I'll be praying for you all. I'll be praying for you all. Because we don't spend time asking God, should I go to the mall? Should I go to the grocery store today? We just get up and say, well, look, you know what? I don't have no milk in the fridge. I ain't got no orange juice. I ain't got no egg. I ain't got no butter. I want to make a cake. I need to get some vanilla. I'm going to the store. We don't ask God. We don't ask God. And then when we get to the store, say they're shooting on. Oh, they're shooting on this parking lot. Now you're trying to get up the parking lot, trying to make a U-turn. Everybody comes, you in the way, you can't get it, make a U-turn. You're fighting to save your life.
Right, man.
Then ever consult God. They never consult God.
No.
Well, last night, the Lord told me something. I'm going to put it today on this. I'm going to put it on Facebook today. He said, tell my daughters, that's what he told me last night. He said, ask my daughters a question. That's what he asked me. Do you ever consult God about you, the clothes you're wearing, about when you put up the makeup on your face, and when you wear all of them earrings and all of them bangles and ankle bracelets, do you ever ask me if I appreciate that? God told me put that on Facebook, because he says a lot of people are dressing, women and men are going to the house of the Lord and they're dressing just like the world. They're dressing like the nightclub. They're painted up. They're painted up just like prostitutes. They're painted up like whores. And the men look, all of them look like gay.
That's not good.
Their pants too
that's
tight.
Good.
Put it there, transfer your track. God told me to post it on Facebook. I'm posting it up. Post it up later. I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't mind. As long as I'm not in trouble with him, I don't mind getting in trouble with man. I don't mind getting in trouble with people. As long as I'm not in trouble with God.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean.
Why are you going to church and you're going to the church building and you got your dress on and got the top, the blouse that you have on your breasts is almost jumping out. They almost jumping out. Your breasts.
I was telling
my granddaughter the other day, she had a top on. I said, honey, you don't need to have top like that. If you're going to have your breasts shown, your breasts should be only for when you get married for your husband, not for the world to see.
That's right.
Yeah, grandpa, I'm 20 years old. Well, 20 years old means that you're going to walk a certain way before God.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 7 in a respectful way, but you have the forefront of church, they're singing in the choir, they're playing in the band, and they're dressing just like the street people. You're not glorifying God. You're not glorifying God like that.
But you
look at some
God.
Of these folk, you wouldn't think that they're preachers. You wouldn't even think that they are. You look at the way they dress, you wouldn't think they're preachers. Calling you a servant evangelist.
Yeah.
I'm evangelist. All your stuff jumping out. I'm a prophetess. All your stuff jumping out. Bro, what do you prophesying for? The devil?
Okay.
All of your stuff jumping out all over the place and calling yourself a prophetess. I wouldn't even tell nobody that I was a prophet or an evangelist if I had my stuff like that. I would keep that stuff to myself because the first thing they're going to do is say, she's really a pastor. She's really a bishop. That's going to go through their mind. I'm telling you. They ain't going to tell you that. They're not going to say it to your face. But that's what's going to go through their mind. The moment you tell them, well, look, I'm a pastor, and they look at you and your stuff jumping on everywhere, they're going to say, well, so I don't want her to be my pastor, and she can be dressed like that. Pastor, God, that's different. You're representing God. You're supposed to look different. You know what I find on that today? This is what the Lord showed me. You know, people would go to the White House. They would go to the White, even preachers. And they'll get their best suit if they get an invitation for the White House for next week. This week they go buy a suit. They go buy a dress. They buy a new wig. Get fingernail appointment. Toenail appointment. They get the face fixed because they're going to the White House to meet the president. They go to the house of the Lord anywhere they want to. Stuff jumping out everywhere because they don't have no reverence for God. No reverence for him. But they have reverence for the president because they're going to the president's house. They're going down to the governor's house. You know, they're going to the senator's house. We don't meet the senators or the Congress on Capitol Hill, so we got to dress a certain way. But what about God? What about God?
We
don't think about that.
It's just like I tell men and women, when you go into the house of the Lord, you don't ever know what's coming. And I don't ever want to have a situation to where if I have to bend over, reach down or something, everything above, you know, everybody can see all of that. When we go into the house of the Lord, we need to recognize healing. You know, the church is a hospital full of sick folks who are trying to get well. The only question is when are we going to get well? We have to get well. And well starts at the headship first. So we all need to have our little houses in order. We really do. It does matter. It matters. And Jesus is
Mother Grant.
Always.
Yes,
hey, Mother Grant. Hey, Mother Grant. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you, Lord.
It's so
good.
How's
your daughter doing?
Well, she just told me, say she just home in bed. She believed her son, her son was here. And the son, he went to the father. He said, Mommy, he said, when we reach home, he start having the diarrhea and feeling bad. So he must have picked that up from his father them place. Because the father can't pick him up from he come. And then give it to her. So she tell them, got to pick it up from them. Somebody there must have it. My son is 10. He's 10 years old, so he had diarrhea, vomiting, and feeling bad. And she teach the daycare, so, you know, she said couldn't go after he come, say she, and she had a van get tested.
Wow.
She called me, I was the last one. She come here in the room, hugged me early that morning before she gone. So I say, oh, Lord, I hope I ain't got it. She say, Mom, because she must have been texting me. And I realize I'm getting into no text. So she called. She said, Mommy, you read my text? I say, no. She said, go get tested. She said, because I tested positive.
And make sure she's taking some zinc. Some zinc. Make sure she's taking some zinc, some vitamin C, and some vitamin D, okay? Make
sure
she get on that quick. Zinc, vitamin C,
and
vitamin D.
I've been drinking my bitters. I have my bitters I drink. I drink that every day, and I tell them, and she says, say, here's the bitters. I say, drink it. She drink it. She must take some and leave it right on the table. All of them, I tell them, and I boil every week. I boil up something. Nobody want to take nothing. I say, okay.
They don't want to drink that stuff. They don't want to drink that stuff. My granddaughter, my wife, the same thing. I make the herbs here. I don't like that smell. I say, okay,
yeah,
you drink that stuff.
Bitter and
go
all
make
of that.
Sure you don't have to go see the doctor. You'll be fine.
Right. Well, so far I've been okay, and I had another appointment for the doctor yesterday, and then I went take the test, and I tell him I can't go in because I, you know, went take that test. So the doctor, he called me and he talked to me over the phone because, you know, my sugar, everything was good with the specialist Wednesday. And I had to see the medical doctor on Thursday. But I went in, I just called him, and he called me over the phone. I tell him I feel okay, but you never know. That's my fifth time taking that test.
Really?
Yeah.
About fifth time. And I hope this time is right. Hope my daughter don't give me nothing, Lord Jesus, because that's what they all be fussing about, telling me, well, don't go this way or don't go that way. And I say, I hope you don't come, you give it to me or your son, because all of them come in the room and help me when they're leaving.
We speak and you covered in the crucified blood of Jesus.
Lord.
Let there be no form of anything that in regards to sickness. And we ask that the Lord wash, cleanse your place, that the crucified blood of Jesus run north, east, south, and west from rooftop down past the foundation on the ground, inside and out, that he will command the angels that he has given charge over you to keep you in all thine ways. And that from the crown of your head down to the soles of your feet, there is no negative report. There is nothing in you, on you, around you, that is sickness, that is COVID, that is flu, that with any kind of plague, you know, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. We rebuke that.
Praise the Lord. My uncle who died Monday, you know, he had it when it first come up, but he always was in a nursing home. He had it when it first come out, they say he got it. But that was from last year.
He rested in
a nursing home for many years. He's the last of my siblings. My mother was the only girl of five boys.
Saddened for your loss.
Yeah.
And we just pray that the Lord send the comforter in the name of Jesus, and that he will be with you guys in your time of mourning.
And all the children
will
speak
peace.
You know? For him. Yeah.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. My reading today, my reading say confession. Light. He that cover his sins shall not properly But those who confess and forsake it, them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The condition of obtaining mercy of God are simply and just one reason, Abel the Lord does not require us to do some gracious thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome privilege or perform painless penance to commend our soul to the Lord, to God of heaven, or to explain our transgression. But he that confessed and forsaken his sin shall have mercy. The apostles say, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. James 5:16, confess your sin to God, who only can forgive them and your faults to one another. If you have given often to a friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty freely to forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is property of God, and in injured him, you sinned against his creator. And remainder, the case is brought before the only true, our great high priest, who was in all point tempted like as we are, but without sin, and who is touched with a feelings of our infirmity, and is able to cleanse every stain of inquirement. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their soul before God in acknowledgement their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance, which is not to be repent of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confess our sin, aborting our iniquity, inquirement, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin. And if we have not sought, we have never find the peace of God. The only reason why we do not have remission of sin that are past is that we are not filling to humble our heart and compel with the condition of the world of truth. Instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, shall be heartfelt, to freely express. It is not to be urgent from the sinner, but it is not to be made. The careless way or forced from those who have no realization sense of the charter of sin. The confession that is outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God, to infirmity. The psalmist says, Lord is high night unto them that are of a broken heart, to save such to be the spirit. Psalms 34:18. And may God end his blessing to his word. Amen. Let us go forth Yeah. Mm-hmm. A Hope and Happiness is a book I have.
Mm-hmm. You finish or you can read the book?
Yeah, may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Oh, I see. Amen. Yes, amen. Glory to God. The line is open. If anybody wants to make comments or just wants to praise him.
God bless you, woman of God.
Oh, thank you, and God bless you too, Mother. Always. Always. God bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus.
I'm getting ready to go.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go ahead, Mother.
No, Sam, I'm packing up box. I'm going to drop it out to send to the island.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God. Thank God for his bounty. Hallelujah. Thank God for all that he provides for us.
Yes.
Provides everything that we need to do what he's called us to do. Thank God for your mother. We pray you're safe out there, that God will keep you, that you will have his grace and his mercy as you travel to do the will of God. He will protect you in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy that endure forever, oh God. Lord, we just thank you for your protection for all of us, Father. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Apostle Clay. We appreciate the word. Thank God for all of you on the line. Thank God for our family in Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God for that word today to remind us that we have power and authority. We have power and authority to speak the word of God that he has already given us. And I thank God that we heard it again. And we should continue to keep that in our minds, keep our minds stayed on God, stayed on that word, and we will have all we need to get through this life. Everything that God promised, we already have it. It's already there. We just have to receive it and then use it. If we don't apply it, it won't do any good. We have to apply the word of God to our lives. Amen. So I thank God for this word this morning. I'm just soaking. I'm just soaking and listening and enjoying you all.
it's good morning. To and know all is well on your end. Know that Prophetess Misha's standing, you know.
Yes, she is. She does. She actually doesn't look very sick. I saw a picture of her, and she had her hat on. Of course, all her hair is gone. And she's much brighter in her skin. And one of the reasons is, too, probably because she's not getting out a lot now. But the chemo may be doing something to her skin. But she does not look very sick. And she has not lost a whole lot of weight. But anyway, she's doing better, and she is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. She's already healed. We thank God for that. Pastor Millie's sister is already healed. We were healed. And that's why we receive it, as we are already healed. We have the Lord's angels around us to keep us. They're there. We have an angel standing with us all the time. We are covered all the time. And I thank God for that we know wherever we go, God said, I'll be with you always. You know, he lives in us. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. We are never, ever alone. Glory to God. And that's my confession. That's what God said. And I know everywhere I go, right there with me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I do not pray. Glory be to God everywhere I go. I said, I thank you, Lord, that you go with us. You are with me. You are in me. Your power is with me. And I have the authority that you've given me. And so this is how the saints of God must confess. We must make these confessions every day. We got to know that we know, like you said, know who you are and whose you are, and know what you have already been promised. And all we have to do is take those promises and apply them to our life. And
Amen.
That's just the way I do it. And I'm not doing it no other way. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Right.
See, God has given us gifts. The gifts that he has given us, the promises that he has already given us, we don't have to ask for it.
That's right.
We don't have to ask for what's already given. God doesn't give it one day and then take it back. He doesn't take it back. His word remains the same, and you say that in the word.
Yeah.
His word remains the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so, therefore, whatever he had, everything, what he said, I don't believe everything man says, but I believe everything that God said. And I take it, and I use it, wield that sword, wield that word, hallelujah, let that word flow out your mouth and cut everything that's not like God. Cut it up, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's how a saint of God is supposed to look at it. We are saints of God. We are warriors, hallelujah.
Yes.
And God has taught us how to do it. And then he said the battle is not for us. The battle is mine, he said. So God, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. All I got to say, God, I know you got it. I know it's already won. I know I'm already healed. Hallelujah.
Thank
I know
you,
I got everything. I got everything for my life. Nothing is missing because he's my shepherd and I shall not want. That's the bottom line. So that's the way we ought to do it. God, thank you for every promise. But God, we ask you for mercy when we go here and when we go there. Because God said, I will give mercy to whom I choose to give mercy to. So we ask for the mercy. We ask for, for grace on the road and things like that. God, your grace. We thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your glory. We just thank you for what he's already done. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Right.
You know.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you for the word to remind us that we have that authority. We can bind. We can loose.
Thank
God said bind and loose. We got all of that going for us. And we got Jesus praying for us. He's our mediator.
Amen.
He's our he's our intercessor. My God, we got the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter.
Amen.
The power is in us. We got it going on through Jesus Christ. We got it going on. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And we can go in peace. We got the Prince of Peace. Glory be to God. We can. Our life is filled. Filled.
Jesus.
We have the fullness of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He said we won't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God.
Hallelujah.
And we hang on to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
Amen.
And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We need all of this in this time.
That's right.
And we need to stand on the word of God. We need to stand on this word. We need to stand on it. We need to believe it. We need to see it. We need to feel it. We need to receive it. Be open to receive
Hallelujah.
It. Okay.
That's right.
Be open to receive it. Know that you know
faith.
That you know. You better
Hallelujah.
Know it. You better know
faith
it.
Without works is dead. We got to work that word. We got to work it.
Yeah.
And we get stronger and stronger as we work it.
Yes.
And as we work it, we get those encounters with God. And God proves to us who he is.
Isn't that
he proves himself to us. And he
God wants to know. God wants us to know. God really does. God really wants you to know. You know, he'll take you just like he did Moses, if that's what you need. God says, I am that I am. I will become whatever I need to be for you. But that's according to the will of God. That's not a free-for-all. It's according to the will of God. I will be what I need to be for you. I need to take you by your hand. Here we go. Let's go. Walk with me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Paul, I didn't promise you smooth sailing, but I promise you a safe landing. I'm here. I'm with you. I am with you.
Yes,
Glory to God. The anointing, word covered the woman who had the issue of blood. She left out of that place knowing that if she had been seen, she would have been killed on sight. But see, she knew that she knew. All I have to do is press my way. I can't walk. I can't crawl. I'm going to drag myself by the strength of my arms, but I'm going to get to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't touch but the hem of his garment. You got to know that you know. You got to know. Glory to God.
And to me, that's saying we just have to touch the word. We have to touch the word himself. She touched
Thank
the word.
You,
that garment was full of the power.
That's right.
He had it on his body. And when she touched that garment, that power that was in Jesus was in this garment. Hallelujah. He touched the power. That's what he did. Glory to God. He felt it. He felt virtually his body. Glory to God. You know, and that's all we got to do is touch the word. Just touch it. Touch it every day. Touch it with your lips. Touch it with your mind. Touch it with everything you do. Just touch the word.
We touch the word when we speak the word, we touch 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 the word, we
declare the word of God. We're touching the word. God is saying, wow, that's my daughter. That's my son. They believe in me. They trust me. You know, because he's a child of God. And if we don't give him that praise by doing what he says to do, that's praising God. When we do what he tells us to do, it praises God. It worships God with our life. We're touching God with our worship, our thanksgiving. Our praise was touching the word. Jesus Christ himself is the word. Great I am. When he said, I am that I am your that. Whatever that is, whatever that is, I am your that. I am your everything. I call him my Jehovah. Everything God. My everything God. That's what I want to be. That's how it got to be if we're going to get the fullness of the power.
That's right.
The fullness. I want the fullness of it. Hallelujah, God. I want to experience more. I want to get nearer to God. Hallelujah. Nearer to God. God, bring me closer to you, Jesus. I want to just be closer to you, God. We can't ever be too close, so we just ask, bring me closer, God. And, you know, when you do that, he'll give you some experiences. Hallelujah.
He does.
See, I told you I'm your healer. Mm-hmm. See, I told you I'm your provider. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. See, I told you I'm your protector. Mm-hmm. My God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. See, I told you I'm your joy. I told mm-hmm. you I'm your peace. I told you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And that's how it comes to me. Mm-hmm. That's how it comes to me because he has shown me who he mm-hmm. is. I know him. You
that's
got
right.
to know him. Like you said, you got to mm-hmm. know that you know. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that topic. Glory be to God. So thank you, woman of God. We are praying for you. Glory be to God. We thank God for you. I pray the light of the Lord continually shine upon you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
That everywhere you go that you are shining for the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you, God, for
thank
the word
Jesus.
That is in this woman of God shining, God,
amen.
Shining for your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We want to thank you, God, that you have established her as your daughter. We thank you, Father God, that wherever she go, God, that you are with her, Father God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for the plans that you have for her life, oh God. We thank you, God, that your plans are going forth for her in the name of Jesus Christ, just the way you planned it, just the way you planned it for her family, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Oh God, give her more revelation, knowledge, as she studies the word, Father. Give her more and more, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for it. Thank you, God. Touch every part of her body, oh God. Hallelujah, that it would function just the way you created it, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God, that her entire body is filled, oh God. Filled, oh God, with your power. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Every area of her life is filled, Father God. Filled with your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we just thank you now for your glory on her life, for your glory on all of our lives, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, we thank you for healing for your saints, healing for the people who are sick today, Lord. Lord God, we thank you, Father. We send the word of healing to the hospital, to the nursing homes. We send the word of healing to the street corners, God. Oh, God, everywhere there are sick people, God, we send your word, oh, Father God, for your word is powerful and you are everywhere present at the same time, oh God. We thank you, God. You're all powerful all the time, oh God. So, Father God, we thank you, God, for touching the bodies of people who are suffering, who are in pain, oh God. Father God, we thank you for your mighty touch, oh mighty God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask you to protect our little innocent ones, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray and hedge of protection around them, oh God. Those children that they want to go and kidnap and steal, oh God, and make them out of slaves, Father. We ask you, oh God, to protect them. And for those that are already taken, God, we ask you to make a way of escape. Hallelujah. Make a way of escape for them, Lord God, so they can get back to their loving parents and family, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we know you love these children, God. Hallelujah, God. We ask you, oh God, to do this, Father. In the name of Jesus, only you can make a way of escape for them, Father. Only you have that power, Lord. So, God, we speak that children will be released. We speak it in the atmosphere that children will be released now. In the name of Jesus, released out of captivity by the evil one. In the name of Jesus, and put into the hands of your angels. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Father God, we thank you for it right now. Right now, God. Hallelujah. Because you are right now, God. And we have now faith. We have right now faith, Father. We thank you, Lord. I know, I see, God. I believe as we are praying that children are escaping in the mighty matchless name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we bless you. We bless you. Lord, we bless you, your holy name, God. Oh, God, you're so great and great. It is great, oh, God. Yes, not just because of what you do, but because of who you are, oh God. Lord God, we ask you to weed out the evil in the White House, weed out the evil in the courtroom, weed them out, God, shine your light over darkness, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Hallelujah. Get them out of there, God, and change them, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.